Okay, folks.
Didn't work.
Okay. Last week we got caught up in the plus and the minus things. And so I did not go over the logic assignment, and I'm going to do that right now. So this is the logic assignment. No, I'm sorry. It's that one. I didn't go. That's why I clicked on it. The logic PowerPoint. There we go. Clicked on the wrong week. Okay. So, if you look at this, and I've now extended this till Tuesday. If you get it in next Tuesday, it's on time, since I'm going over it now. This is the data that you're using to do this assignment. And we're playing computer. Okay? So, here are the field names. If I were to set it up in Access or something like that, those would be the field names. And here's the data. And pretend there's an end of file marker there because it knows when it's hit end of file. So that's the data that I have that I'm working with. Okay? So now in the next thing, it says, okay, let's process that data. So I said here, I want to produce a report using the logic shown. The report should contain ID item number, item name, price and cost, and profit. Profit is the difference between price and cost. So my output that I'm going to write out is item number, item name, price, cost, profit. So let's start out. It says read a record, so I read that first record, 1111 Oak. So I've read that record. It's not end of file, because I read a record, so it's not end of file. Calculate profit, okay? Profit for that first record is 20.89, right? 95.89 minus 75, it's 20.89. Set up the line, that means just get it ready to write. You can ignore that. Write the line on the report. So I'm going to write 1111 Oak. And then the next thing was price, so 95.89. Cost is 75. Profit is 20.89. Then after I write that, it says read another record. So I read the second record. And then I go back, it's not in the file, so I calculate its profit, which is $17.99, and then I write out the line. And then I go back and read another record, and I keep doing this over and over and over again until I hit end of file. So in other words, after I process Elm, I go to read, and there's nothing to read. So at that point, the read is unsuccessful. I come back here. Is it not end of file? It is end of file. So I stop. Okay, so when I run out of data, I stop, basically, which makes sense. I can't process data that doesn't exist. Okay, so now the next one says, is there any difference? And I'll give you a hint. No, there isn't, but I want you to write up why. Okay, so the reason is that over here I have these four things that I have to do if it's not end of file. What I did is I said I'm going to take those four things and I'm going to put them in a module. And I'm going to call that module process. And there are the four things. And there's the end of process. Now this is a module. Can also be called a subroutine, can also be called a procedure, can also be called about a dozen other things, but we'll stick with those three. So over here, when I say not end of file, go do process. This rectangle with double lines means go do process. So I do process, when I'm done, I come back, check for not end of file. Notice that the last thing before I go back is I read. Up here, I read the first record. Here, I will read all of the others. So I read a record, and then I immediately go back when I hit the end over here. I immediately go back and I check, was that read successful? Was it not in the file? If it's not in the file, I come back and do the next one. Then I read. I come back over here. If it's not in the file, I come back and I process again. Eventually, when I read, there won't be anything to read. And then when I come back over, it is in the file, so I stop. Okay? But it's just moving the clutter out into process, as opposed to putting everything into the main line. Questions? Okay. The next one gets into asking a question. So if you look at this, it reads a record, so it reads 111 Oak. It's not in the file, so it goes to due process. Okay, it looks at Oak. Is on hand greater than 25?
No.
No. Okay, on hand is 5. So since on hand is greater than 25, it doesn't write anything out. But it does go and read another record. So it now reads Red Maple. Goes back. It's not in the file because it read Red Maple. And then it comes back to process. Is on hand greater than 25?
Yes.
Yes. So it sets up and writes the line, and then it goes back and reads another record. And when I write the line, I want to see item number, item name, on hand, and on order. Okay? So it goes through and follows the flowchart. Now, a little further on, I've got one where I'm using the pseudocode. So on this one, you have to follow the pseudocode. And this one is saying, is on hand greater than 25 and price greater than 75. Both of those have to be true to write a line. If they're not, it just drops out to the end if and leaves another record. Okay? Questions. So basically, I think there's 8 problems, and you got to go through and play computer on 8 problems and just write out what the computer would write out. Questions? Yeah.
Would it be cheating if we wrote the program?
Yes. I'll tell you what, if you write the program, you still have to do the assignment, but I'll give you extra credit. But you still have to play computer. Okay. The other thing is the mentor program. About 5, well, actually it's probably more years than that now. Years ago, I started a mentor program where our alum will mentor with students in the class. And it is a mentor program where it's designed for you to be able to ask questions about their job. They're not going to help you with your homework. I actually had somebody a few years back that sent them a homework assignment and asked for help. No. They're not going to help you with your homework. And in fact, they may not know it. If you asked them a question about Access, they may never work with Access. They may work with a different database. So they'd have to open up Access and figure it out. And that's not what they're signed up to do. So no homework help. But what they will do is answer questions, and the questions are kind of up to you. For example, I mean, do you work mostly alone or do you work in groups? You know, if you run into problems, how do you get help? You know, things like that that you might like to know about working in the field. Now, this person may not be doing the same work that you're doing, but they still can answer that question, or you can even ask them if you know if you got a network person and you're a programming person, then you can ask them if, you know, to the programming people, and you can ask them about other people in their environment, in other words. So what you're going to do is interview them online. Think up a series of questions and ask them those questions. And as I said, I'm not trying to tell you what questions to ask. You should ask the questions that you'd like to know the answers to. This is your opportunity to talk to somebody that's out in the field, that's doing the work, that similar at least, in the same field that you're going to be getting into. So it's a good thing to ask them. The second part of the paper, you're supposed to research the career that you want. So there's two parts of the paper. One is telling me about the career that you want and researching facts about the career that you want. And the other one is talking about their career. Okay, so I'm looking for those two things. Now, these are very busy people. So, if you wait till 2 days before the paper is due and send them an email, probably you're not going to get hair back from them in time, because probably they have better things to do. So, therefore, you need to contact them soon. So think up your questions, contact them soon. If you want to write the paper the night before it's due, fine. But contact them to get the information soon so that they have some time. If you have trouble getting in touch with them, let me know. I've gotten in touch with them all within the last week, asking them if they're willing to do it again this semester. And with the exception of one, they all said yes. One of them said, no, I just started a graduate school program, and I'm working full-time, going to graduate school full-time, and I have a family, and we just moved to Texas. So, give me a year off, okay, and then I can come back. So I thought that that was a fairly good reason, so we passed. Okay, quiz is out there, 10-question quiz due by Thursday at midnight. Those little 10-question quizzes I do not take late. So Thursday by midnight, you could go home and do it today or tomorrow. And then it's due. Okay. That takes care of that. The other thing I wanted to look at is we finished up something at the end of last time, but we didn't quite finish it up. So I'm going to bring it up from my smart board.
Which one was it?
The plus and the minus and all that good stuff. Okay, there's the flowchart for it. There's the code. Okay, so you can bring this up at your own seat. If you bring up the 1230 class, which is what you're in, it's slide 24 of 25. Okay, and you're going to be able to see it a lot better if you bring it up. It's slide 24 of 25 on the smart board for last time. So it's the very last smart board there. Okay, if you go into my smart board. Okay, so this was the one where I said that it has to be a multiply or a divide or an add or a subtract. And we were working on that right at the end of class last time. Okay, so what we've got here now is, first I'm asking the question, you're right.
Yep. It starts.
It didn't even give me a minute. Okay. We'll see if it's happy now.
Is this the introduction to JavaScript?
I think so. It's the very last thing under the smart board.
Thank you.
What does it say?
Introduction to JavaScript.
Okay. That makes sense. Why is it doing that? Okay, I'm going to get this, and I'm going to win. But it doesn't seem to understand.
Okay, I'm having trouble building a rug.
What browser are you in?
Chrome.
Huh, I think it usually operates all right in Chrome. Well, then I guess you better look.
Mine won't either.
Yeah, mine doesn't look like that. It looks like...
Mine won't even open.
Mine looks very nice. go in and change the size, I think.
Do it open with PDF, Acrobat, for the other, and like Adobe Reader, sorry.
I just went to the smart board and clicked on it, and it opened beautifully.
Mine opened fine, too.
Yours opened fine? Okay. We got a few that are.
Mine's open in a PDF, that's why.
Well, it is a PDF.
Yeah. Oh, all right. Now you view the source information on a PDF.
Well, you're just looking at slide 24 out of 25.
Oh, okay.
Okay, you're looking at slide 24 out of the 25. So it's the next, it was right at the end of class. Okay, so the first question I'm asking is it multiply? And if it is, then this is what I want to do. If it is true, this is what I want to do if it's false. So if it's false, I'm going to go down, and I'm going to go down on the else. So let's say I didn't enter a times, a multiply, an asterisk. If I entered an asterisk, it would do that calculation. If I didn't enter an asterisk, it's going to go to the else. And everything inside there is the no to it's not an asterisk. Okay? As Pat said at one point, it's really kind of easy when you put the curly brace here to put the curly brace down there too, so that you kind of know you got it. Okay? So then I go inside the else and I'm asking the question, is what to do equal to a slash? And if it's true, that's what I want to do. But if it's not true, I want to do all of this. Or at least I want to go in there and ask the next question. So if it's not true, I'm going to go in here and I'm going to say, okay, is it a plus? And if it's a plus, I do that. And notice with pluses, I'm doing parse integer or parse float so that I can add it. And if it's not true, false, I'm going to do this. And that asks, is it a subtract? And if it is a subtract, I'm going to do this. And if it's not a subtract, I'm going to put out answer equals zero. Okay? So I'm going to get an answer one way or another. Because if I get a no to all the questions, I keep going to the else's. And finally, the last else puts out answer equals zero. Actually, it doesn't put it out. It puts in an answer. And then down below, I do a document write to show what's in answer. Okay. Questions? This was three ors. Now, when I'm writing this, JavaScript is temperamental enough that I would probably not write the whole thing. I would write if what to do equals asterisk, and I put answer equals first num, second num, else, curly braces, answer equals zero. And then I test it with a multiply. And if that worked, then I'd say, okay, now I'm going to add in the divide. So I take out the answer equals zero, and I would put in the divide, else answer equals zero. And I keep adding it one piece at a time, because if you do that and you get the white screen of death, you know it was the last three lines that you just put in that caused it. If you write 40 lines and you get the white screen of death, you know it was one of those 40 lines. And then you have to figure out which of those 40 lines. For you who are adventuresome, if you download Firebug to go with Firefox, it helps, kinda, with debugging. And if you hit F12, it brings up a lot of information at the bottom. And sometimes you actually get some reasonable information that's very helpful. Other times, not so much. But at least it can be worth a try. So if you download Firebug, which is free for Firefox, and then you hit F12. Now in Chrome, I believe you go in under Web Developer, and there is something in there as well that will show you the different things. Explorer I would avoid, because essentially Explorer doesn't like pop-ups, and we're using pop-ups, and so we're not compatible right now. So I would avoid Explorer and use either Firefox or Chrome. Okay. Did that just take a picture? Yes, it did. Cancel. Okay, so... now we're going to go back in and look at the next examples. Go in under Site Resources, Programs. And the last one we looked at was Math Answer. Okay, that was the one where we said, give me the first number, give me the second number, give me the thing you want to do with it, and it came up with it. So we are in looking at if with if. Okay, so this one says, enter the number of points you earned. So I'm entering 75. And it tells me I can choose from Group A. Okay. So, what I'm doing here is I'm saying enter the number of points you've earned, and I'm storing it in my points. Now, there's one thing that JavaScript is very friendly about. If I do not define my points up here as a variable, and I just use it here to receive something I assign to it, JavaScript will say, I bet you want a variable there, and it will go and it will make a variable. Okay? I wouldn't recommend doing it. I'd go ahead and make the variable. But JavaScript kind of decides if the first time it sees something you're doing, I want to put something in there, it says, all right, they must want a variable, and they make it. Now, if the first time they saw it was in my points less than 10, it doesn't make that assumption. Because if you're using it, as in comparing it to something, it says, where's my points? I can't find it, and it doesn't work. So, if you don't want to be bothered with that subtle difference, then describe your variables all the time with the word var, and it will be happy. That's the best way to go. So I've now taken in the numbers and put them in my points. So now I'm saying, if my points is less than 10, make the message say this. Else, if my points is less than or equal to 50, make the message say that. Else, make the message say that. And when you're all done, write out the message. Okay? So I put in 75, and you can see up there that when I put in 75, it gave me this message. Okay? Because it wasn't less than 10, it wasn't less than or equal to 50. And so it gave me the 75, and so it gave me the group okay, rather. Now, if I look at the whole flowchart on this, I have my start. I declare my variables. And then I put up a prompt. And the prompt gives me my points. And then I ask about my points. So I ask, is my points less than 10? And if it is, I put out the message, not enough points. If it's not less than 10, then I know it's 10 or more, right? So if it's 10 or more, I ask the question, is my points less than or equal to 50? And if it is, I put out the group B message. And if it's not, I put out the group A message. And then I close this up. And then I do a write. And then I stop. Sorry. That sort of says stop. I write and then I stop. So that's the complete flowchart for that particular problem. Questions? Okay. So all I'm doing here is taking in some information and checking on it and responding. Okay. Questions? Okay. Next one is Massa, Rhode Island. Okay, so enter your name, Anne. Enter your state, Rhode Island. Anne, you live in Rhode Island. Okay. Now, this is some kind of a whole lot of interesting things that we're going to look at. First of all, notice that I'm saying window.prompt. Okay, that's the same as saying prompt. The prompt is going to go up on a window. And so writing window.prompt does the same thing as if I just wrote prompt. But you'll see some people write window.prompt, the others write prompt. It's really six of one, half dozen of another, which you want to do. Prompt wins most of the time with me because it's less characters. Okay. So now I'm saying enter your name. And notice I've got the quote code here, which means that the box will be empty and I'll put a name in it. And I'm assigning it to a variable I named Lene. Then I said enter the state and it goes into a variable called the state. Then I said test to see if it's equal. And again, remember, double equal signs means test for equal. One equal sign is an assignment. An assigned sign. Okay. These two marks mean or. The two pipes mean or. And the pipe is right under the backspace. Okay? But two pipes mean or. What we're going to see on the next one is that two of these means and. So those are the ways to write and or. So I'm saying here, if the state equals Mass or the state equals Rhode Island. Okay? So if they enter either Mass or Rhode Island, here's what I'm doing. I'm saying document write, put out the contents of the name. So I typed in Anne, so there's Anne up there. Concatenate it. That is a concatenate. Concatenate means put two things together as one. So concatenate that with, in quotes, alliteral. And notice there's a space before the Y and a space after the N. So that when I write it, there's a space before the Y and a space after the N. Otherwise, it's all going to get whooshed up and look lousy. Okay? And then I concatenated that with the state. So whatever I typed in, and I typed in RI, so it concatenated it with RI. Then I put a comma as a separator just so I did something different. But I could have used the plus and concatenated it again. So this could have been a plus. It doesn't matter which I do. So I said plus or comma, and then I put a BR. Now, in this particular example, that BR is worthless. Because it's saying skip down to the next line, but I'm not putting anything on the next line, so who cares? But I wanted to show you the ways of doing the BR. If I was going to be writing something else, then I would, this might have some value. On the next line, this is what I do if it's not Massachusetts or Rhode Island. I write the name concatenated with, you do not live in Massachusetts or Rhode Island. I'm still inside quotes because I'm just putting out a literal. So notice I stuck the BR inside the quotes. Because since I'm still inside quotes, I can do that. Up here, the state was a variable. It wasn't a literal. And so I needed to put the BR in its own quotes and make it a separate thing. But in the one below, on the else, I was already inside quotes, so I can just stick the BR in there. Questions? The last class had a question. So we're going to see if I can find the thing that I saved. And if not, I will answer their question. Anybody remember what I called it? Test BR, I think.
Yep.
Test BR. So enter your name, John. Enter the state, MA. Okay. So this is what I did here. I took the BR out of there. First, I took the BR out because I really didn't need it. Then I decided actually I did need it. I wanted to write the word done after I was done. So I did it two ways, one of which is I put out of just a document write that said nothing but skip a line. Document write BR says nothing but skip a line. And that worked just fine. And then I put out a document write that said done. And that worked fine. The other thing I could have done is if I don't like having that, I can take that out. Only I can't because it's not in Notepad. Okay, I can take this out and I can put the BR right inside there like that. And say BR done right inside the quotes. So that's another way that I can do it. So I'm going to save this, save as test BR2. Guys, I don't deal well with competition. Okay, so now I can open this one and say file, open file, and this is test BR2, enter your name, Susan, enter the state, Rhode Island, and this is what I have. So I can take the BRs out of there and instead put it down here when I'm about ready to write a line and write BR and then the word done. So that's just a variety of ways that I can set things up so that they put lines, put things on a separate line. The problem with the document write is it doesn't move down a line. If I say a couple of document writes, it will do it all in the same line and just keep writing. It doesn't move down a line. So if I want it to move down and have a different line, I got to throw in a BR someplace along the line. Because the BR will move me down to another line. And probably the easiest way of doing it is the way I did it just before. When you want a blank line, put in a document write with the BR and the BR all by itself, and it will just write a line. Okay, write a blank, move down to the next line. Write a carriage return is actually what it will do, is moves down to the next line. Questions? Aren't you glad the other class asked that question? Okay. The next one has got the and. So the name is... Whoops, what did I just do? The name is Ann. I hit control. And the year of birth is 1982. And marital status is S. Ann does not meet the criteria. So there's the and symbol. Okay, there's the and symbol. So we haven't seen the and before. That was good. Okay, so now the pen turned into a whatever.
Before. Nope.
Okay. Love when that happens. Okay, so one more time we're going to try it.
That's the block.
And we're going to ask,
there we go.
Nice. Is year birth greater than 1980? And if it is, then we're going to ask, and is the marital status equal to M? Because both of these have to be true in order to get the criteria. Okay, both of those have to be true to get the meet. Now I put in 1986 and single. So I got a yes to the greater than 1980, but I got a no to the single. So I got a, you do not meet the criteria.
Yeah.
If I had not put in something greater than 1980, then I would have got a no up here as well. And I would never have asked about the marital status. If I had put in a year of 1970, I would have got a no immediately. And I would have seen the not message. So essentially, this is an and relationship. Both of them have to be true. And I made it a compound because if either one of them is false, I want to just say you didn't meet the criteria. If I wanted to put out different messages about wrong year, wrong marital status, or something like that, then I couldn't make it a compound. I would have to ask the question separately. But since I want to react the same way, I don't care whether this one gets a no this one gets a no, or they both get no's. I want to say you do not meet the criteria. I only want to say you meet the criteria if the year of birth is greater than 1980 and the marital status equals M. And so at that point, I can turn this into a compound. Piano? Questions? Yeah, thank you.
What do you have, parse, INT?
Oh, okay, because I basically decided to make sure that it came in as a number, and so I tried to turn it into a number when it came in. If I were doing a plus, that would be nice because it was already a number. So I can turn it as a number when it comes in. Glad you asked. Okay. Okay. Now we're going to start. Right now, we've had a situation where if we wanted to ask it about two people, we've had to run the program twice. If I want to be able to do something repetitively, I need to do a loop. And so today, we're going to look at some very basic loops. So, here is a while loop. How many times should I write the lines? 7. Okay. How many of you put in a really big number when you answered that? And you're watching it go on and on and on and on. So does it take a 5-digit number? Does it take a 7-digit number?
Except a negative number.
There is something that compels people to put in a large number when they see that.
Yeah.
Okay, so now that we got it out of our system.
I think it crashed.
Huh?
I think it crashed.
Why did I know you'd be one of the people that would have to put in a large number? Gee, I wonder how I knew that.
Yeah, it definitely crashed.
Okay. There is no desperate need to put in a large number on here and watch it crash, okay? Anyway, so what I did is I said over here, I'm setting up a variable called data_input. Remember, I can't have embedded spaces, but I can use an underscore. So I put in the underscore there. So I said data_input equals prompt. How many times should I write the line? And I put in a 7. Okay. Now, a loop requires 3 things. When you have a loop, it requires 3 things. The first thing is you need to set the control. And I did this over here where I said variable count equals 1. Now notice I actually didn't group all my variables together this time. I have a sort of the input prompt in between, and that's acceptable. I like to set my control right before I go in the loop. So that's why I put it there, because that's what I like to do. Now, if I were a fanatic about wanting to get all of my variables together at the top, I could have said variable count equals 0 or something like that, or variable count with a semicolon after it, not given it a value. And then down on this line, I could have just said count equals 1. And then it would set count to 1 just before I went into the loop. But I decided to make it variable count equals 1, and that's acceptable. The second thing you need is you need to check the control. You need to be able to check the control. And I'm checking the control right here. Count less than, I'm doing a check on it. I'm checking the control. And the third thing you need to do is change the control. And I'm doing that right here, where I'm changing the control. Count equals count plus one. So I'm doing all of the things that I need to do when I've got a loop. Okay? So I'm basically starting count out at one. The code that I want to do is inside the curly braces. Okay? So this is the code that I want to do. I need to have a way of telling the computer, this is the code that I want to do over and over and over again. And in JavaScript, the way you do that is you put it inside curly braces, like you did with an if. You put the stuff you want to do if it's true in curly braces and the stuff you want to do if it's not true in curly braces. Here, you put the stuff that I want to do over and over and over again in curly braces. And that means the line after the curly brace will only be done once after I get out of the loop. So the stuff I want to do over and over is inside curly braces. So I write this as while count is less than or equal to data input. That's my control test. And if it is, I do document write, this is number, and then I concatenate that with count, and I concatenate it with a break. So I move down to the next line. You're having altogether too much fun crashing this. Okay. So, now I'm down here, and I'm saying count equals count plus one. Somebody in the other class asked me why I didn't have to use parse float or parse integer here. And the reason is that JavaScript sees a number there. And it says, oh, you've got a number in that calculation. I bet you want to do an add. And so it does an add instead of a concatenate. If you want to be very sure, you could always write count equals count integer plus one, and then it would be perfect. But this works.
Yeah, I have a quick question. So if I were to put D in that number, it gives you one. Why would it do that? It's not a number.
It prints out the number is one?
Yes.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Variable data input and it's printing out, oh, because it's printing out count. Data input is when the loop's going to quit. So it's asking is count less than or equal to data input. How many zillion times did you do it? How long did it keep going? It just ended right there?
Yes.
Okay. So apparently it didn't like, huh. Because actually, I'm actually surprised that it ended, because I set count equal to 1.
Yeah. But if you put if you put a whole word in it, as it says, this is the act, it didn't give you a line. But if you could put, D in it, it just gives you... Actually, it's not doing it now. It was doing it, a minute ago.
Apparently, it can't do the right connection, the right check with count. I don't know what the answer is. Okay? I'd have to look at it and play with it. In other words, most anything you can break if you put the wrong things in. Okay, so put the right things in. But he has a lot more fun sitting over there putting the wrong things in. Okay, so anyway, where was I? I was someplace. So that's why I don't have to have a parsing to join this. It would probably be better, more literal to do it, but basically I know that when there's a number there, it will usually treat it as an add, so I cheated and basically did it. And that's okay. Now notice I skipped a line. This BR right here, for the when I wrote 7, that BR moved down a line. And then I was all done, because when I added 1 to count, it became 8, and 8 was no longer less than 7. So it dropped out, and it wrote another BR before it wrote, this is the end. So it wrote, this is the end at the bottom, but it had 2 BRs, so that's why it skipped a line. questions. So this started out, and the control on the while loop is saying while count is less than or equal to data input. And I put in a 7. So count is a 1. 1 is less than or equal to 7. I add 1 to count and go back. 2 is less than or equal to 7. 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 is less than or equal to 7. When I add 1, it goes to 8. 8 is no longer less than or equal to 7. And so it's out of there. Okay? Okay. Now, what he did was he put in a D. And I'm curious now to see what it did. How many times should I write the line D? And it just, for me, says this is the end.
Yeah, it did it 2 times, and then when I stopped doing it,
okay. It didn't write anything. Oh, I don't know, but it got out when I did it.
Maybe you did the do loop?
That could have been it.
Yeah. I might have done it.
Okay, this is a slightly different kind of loop.
It's a different.
Okay, and this one does things, everything once. This is a slightly different loop. In this one, my condition is at the bottom. Okay? So I always do this once. Or at least once. That's the least. I always do this at least once. Because notice where I check. I check at the end. So I check at the end. So I come in here and I don't check anything. It just says do. So I do it. Inside there, I add 1 to count. And then I decide whether or not to go back based on that condition. But I will always do it once because I don't check until after I've done it once. I'm checking afterward. So I'll always do it once. Okay? So, if I put in a 0 on this one, if I do this again and I enter a 0, then it does it once. Because it came in and it said, okay, count is 1, do while, so it writes out document write, this is number 1. Then it adds 1 to count and it's now a 2. And it says, is 2 less than or equal to 0? No, 2 is not less than or equal to 0. I'm out of here, and I do a document write. This is the end. Okay? On the other one, the one prior to this, when I put in a D, it dropped out and did this is the end. What if I'd put in a 0? It would have done the same thing. Because basically it checked prior to going into the loop, so it might never have gone in. On this one, it checked after it had done it once. So it's always going to do it once, and then it's going to check. Yes, no, maybe? I'm getting quite a few nods. Okay. This is an if with loop. Okay, now, what I'm doing here is a debugging technique. I'm putting in a lot of loops, of alerts. I'm putting in a lot of alerts and asking it to show me stuff. So if stuff isn't working, this is a great way to figure out what's not working. Because right now, at the very beginning of here, I'm saying count at the beginning of the loop is 1. So it's telling me what count is. And I say, okay, enter the number of points you've earned. So I'll enter 50. And it now comes back and said total points after the add is 50. So it's telling me what's going on. It's annoying, but if things aren't working, it's providing me with information. So then it says count at the beginning of the loop is 2, and I know it's going in again. Enter the number of points, and I'm entering 40. Total points after is now 90. So the 50 plus 40 is 90. Okay? Then it tells me it's beginning of loop 3. It wants me to enter something. I put in 25. It's now to 115. Loop 4, I'm putting in 85. It's now at 200. I'm putting in 100. It's now at 300, and it's done. So these alerts that you see in here basically are providing me information. I would take them out when I've got my problem solved. But they show me what's going on. They showed me what the total was. They show me what count is. They give me an idea of what is going on. And so they're a good debugging tool. Not if it's the white screen of death, but for other things, where things, logic problems, that things aren't just working right. So I put up an alert inside the loop. Now notice this time I'm doing this loop while count is less than or equal to 5. So last time I let the user decide how many times they wanted to do it, and I had them put in the number. This time I made the decision and said, I want to keep doing this while count is less than or equal to 5. User doesn't have anything to say about it. Okay. So I now have an alert, and I'm putting out what count is, and count is a 1 because I just made it a 1. And then I'm saying enter the number of points you've earned. And now I'm saying add it to total points. So I've got something called total points. And I've got something called input points. So I prompt enter the number of points you have earned. So I think the first time I put in 50. The next line says, take those points, add them to total points. Well, total points started out as a 0, because I have a 0 up there for total points. Add it to total points, and store it back in total points. So this now becomes a 50. Okay? The next time, it loops back up. It adds one to count and loops back up. I come in, I say enter the input points. Let's say I enter 40 this time. Okay? Add 40 to 50 gets me up to 90. So add 40 to the total points and put it back in total points. This accumulates. Okay? And then I go back, and the next time I put in, I think, 25. So this came up to 115, and I keep doing it. I'm also adding to count, and when count is no longer less than or equal to 5, I quit. Notice this time I put pass integer on count. Last time I just wrote count equals count plus 1. So I go through this loop as long as count is less than or equal to 5. When count is no longer less than or equal to 5, and eventually it's going to hit 6, then I drop out. And at that point, I check. Is total points less than 10? No. Is total points less than or equal to 50? No, because I think I had 300 or something. Else, you can choose a prize from Group A. And that's what I get up there, that I can choose a prize from Group A. So I had the loop, and I have the if statement separate. I could have put an if statement inside a loop, and then it would have checked and put out messages every single time. Okay? but I chose to just put out a message once when I was done gathering my points. Questions? Okay. Next, final totals. Okay, end of the points player one earned. I'm putting in a 5. End of the points player two earned. I'm putting in an 8. Do you want to play again, Y or N? I'm putting in a Y. End of the points, I'm putting in 5 again. End of the points, I'll put in 9 this time. Okay, do you want to play again? This time I'm going to say N for no. And it tells me the total points that each player got. Okay. So, what have I got here? I've got a variable for player one total and a variable for player two total. I've got a variable for player one entry. This means whatever I type in on the screen. I've got player two entry, whatever I type in the screen. I've got a variable called continue program that I've given a value of y to. And I want to control this loop by that y, because I'll do that while continue program equals y. When it's no longer y, I'm out of here. So I'm back to letting the user control things, but this time they're controlling it by choosing when to end. It's a separate question. They're not gonna get out because the points got too high or the number got too high or the number's too low or whatever. They're getting out of here because they choose to get out by saying why. So notice at the bottom of the loop, I have continue program, which is that variable, equals window prompt, do you want to play again, Y or N? So I'm asking the user to tell me whether they're done or not. If they enter a Y, I go back and it says, while continue program equals a Y. So if they enter a Y, I'm going to keep doing it. If they enter an N, what will happen?
Stop.
It stops, and it just bounces out to the line below the loop, which tells me what player one got and what player two got. What if they enter a D?
Stop.
It stops. Basically, all I'm doing is checking for Y. If they enter anything other than Y, it stops. Because I said do while continue program is equal to Y. And it has to be a capital Y. It has to be a capital Y. If I enter anything other than a capital Y, it will quit. Okay? So it goes through here, and notice what I did here. As I was taking the data in, I parsed it to an integer. And so down here, I'm just doing an add, because I've already taken the data and said, turn it into a number, please. Make sure it's a number. And so when I get down to the next line, I add. And then I add again. So every time I'm saying, and this is an accumulator, if I take and add something to a total and put it back into the total, it keeps growing. If I add two things together and store it in a totally different place, then it replaces. Okay? So if I have ant, I'm going to win. No, I'm not. Sometimes if you're persistent, just a sec, okay? If I say C equals A plus B, then I replace C with A plus B. If I say C equals C plus A, then A gets added to C and I put it back into C. So I keep accumulating the total. It keeps growing. I keep accumulating the total. Okay? So if I repeat the answer over on the right-hand side, that means I want to take this and add it to what the answer already is and put it back in the answer. If I have two different things and say add A and B and put them in C, it will add A and B and put it where and replace whatever used to be in C. This says keep C, add to it and put it back in C. This says take two new things, add them up and put it in C. So it's two different approaches. Yeah, you had a question.
I was just wondering why you have the addition sign at the bottom of the document. Where it says player one.
Concatenate. It's not an addition sign. It's a concatenate, which means put those two things together and print them out. You're talking about this right here, right?
Yes.
That's a concatenate. Unfortunately, the plus sign can mean either add or concatenate. And there it means concatenate. I could have put a comma there between them. And then it would have, that's another kind of separator. Okay, so I could have had a comma there, or I have the plus as a concatenate. I tend to use the plus a lot as a concatenate. Okay, we are almost done, and I don't want to start the next thing because I can't do it in 7 minutes. I was going to have you play with this program and change it. We will do that first thing on Thursday. So, I am done. Pat and I will be in this room for the next... Well, Pat will be here definitely for the next hour. I'm going to kind of come and go.
I'll be here till 3.
Because I have somebody I'm supposed to be talking to.
Okay.